Did I scare you?
Listening to the podcast that answers the only question that matters in horror film, did I scare you? I am your host, Jake Albrecht.
I am his co-host and America's littlest brother, Vin.
What's your problem?
What's my problem?
What's your fucking problem?
I don't know what you're alluding to.
You think you're better than me?
I mean, you know, maybe in some aspects, but...
Whoa, hold on, wait. I was kidding before, but what do you mean?
Well, you know, do we really want to have this discussion right here, right now? This may be the end of this podcast if we go down this road.
All right. For those of you who haven't listened before, this is not the podcast where my brother has delusions of grandeur. This is the podcast where we two brothers switch off picking horror movies in an attempt to scare the other one. Vinny, you selected a movie this week. What is the name of the movie you selected?
I have selected for all of us a movie that started off as a book but then hit the silver screen in, the decade of what? What? What are you laughing at? You fucking think you're better than me?
I don't need to answer that. I do it every week with this show.
Damn.
All right, Vinny, now tell us more about this book that hit the silver screen. Because somebody threw it from the back aisle.
Well, this movie broke into fucking 2000, man. So, what is that? Fucking 2K, right? What the fuck? What do they call that? 2KY? Y2K?
Yeah, Bret Easton Ellis book. It is American Psycho.
You son of a bitch. You didn't even let me finish it. I was trying to build it up for its hype.
Okay. Well, I'm still listening, baby.
We watched American Psycho.
That's right. Directed by Mary something.
Mary Harron.
Right. Uh-huh. And written by her and, I believe, Trish the Dish from Mallrats.
I think so. Mary Harron has directed a bunch of movies that I have never fucking seen.
List them off, Finn. Let's hear it.
All right. The Notorious Betty Page.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Gretchen Mol.
Charlie Says.
Nope, don't know that one.
I Shot Andy Warhol.
But I didn't shoot the deputy?
Daliland.
What's that?
D-A-L-I-L-A-N. Daliland.
Oh, like Salvador Dali Land?
Yes.
Okay.
The Moth Diaries. The Anna Nicole Story.
Okay, yeah, no, you lost me. Vinny, have you ever seen American Psycho before?
I've seen it in bits and pieces, but never all the way through.
Okay. This came out in 2000. I graduated high school in 2003. This was very big with people I went to high school with.
It's crazy.
Many times where anyone who is like into movies is like, oh, have you seen American Psycho? It's really fucked up.
You know what's funny is like you have American Psycho as like the movie that just about everyone was like fawning over in high school. The movie that everyone was fawning over when I was in high school was fucking Fight Club.
Oh no, Fight Club was big in my day as well, trust me. That was a big dorm room poster. And if it was Fight Club and American Psycho, like, that's not a cool dude to hang out with, let's be honest.
His name was Robert Paulson.
Yeah. His name is mistreating people, but saying it's just because he likes to tell the truth, quote unquote.
I could, put my finger on a style of person that could be this day.
Shots noted. B, I am not a huge fan of this movie.
Oh.
Well, end of sentence.
Say good job burying the lead, you know?
What else do you want to say about American Psycho? It pretty much got Christian Bale cast as Batman.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, they saw, like, the way that he, like, took care of his body and how cut he was, and they're like, damn, that's a good-looking Batman.
Well, it's also the idea that, like, you know, he's, like, an upper-crust New York type living a double life.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see it. I mean, all right, well, then let me ask you this question. Are you a fan of Christian Bale?
I was a bigger fan when I was younger. Christian Bale, yes. In the right role, I like Christian Bale. Christian Bale can go a little big sometimes, and he can be kind of a cartoon character.
Sure. I still think that he was a good Batman. Like, I think that those are still some of my favorites.
He's a good Batman, but, you know, like, in the David O. Russell movies, he's a little big. Amsterdam, which just came out, he's not actually the problem with that, but in The Fighter, which he won an Oscar for, he goes like huge with
he's
that.
He's a little like, huge with the accent, yeah.
I'm a fucking drug addict, look at me.
What about The Machinist? How did you feel about that movie?
Well, I was actually going to bring that up because you said that he probably got cast as Batman because he was so cut in this. He lost all of his muscle mass to do The Machinist, where he got really, like, not well. Like,
yeah, scary.
Thin.
Yeah, he's a big-time method actor.
When he was cast as Batman, he had to put on a lot of weight quickly, but he couldn't get it cut, so he just got real fat real quick.
What a life it is to be an actor.
I mean, like, he did untold amounts of damage to his body for that.
Yeah.
To go from, like, steroided out, like, dude in this to, like, sickly thin to, like, big fat guy to, like, cut again.
Well, I mean, like, let's look at his, like, most current role where he played Gore in, you know, fucking Thor Love and Thunder. Like, the shit he put himself through to make himself look the way that he did in that movie, like, he was eating fucking fertilizer.
I didn't hear that.
He
looks very thin these days, just in general.
Yeah. Well, he's a little dude, too, you know?
Well, he's an actor. They all are.
That's true. Right, that's about it. I mean, I ain't got nothing else to really talk about. We can canvas Christian Bale's career all night, but we got a movie to get to, so I guess we should cast this movie.
Okay. Patrick Bateman's kind of a famous enough character that I'll let him stand.
Okay. Sure.
Do you want to talk about, like, what Bale does as, like, Patrick Bateman in this movie?
Okay, yeah, we can give, like, a quick summary, sure.
Well, because, like, the idea is that Bateman is, like, there's nothing inside, so he's just putting out this, like, affectation to fool people. So he uses this real goofy voice where he's like, I always sound like I'm kind of pitching something.
Yeah, like you said, he's that upper crust, like, New Yorker, but he's, like, in the market, so, yeah, he's got this real high society kind of voice.
Yeah, but it also sounds like everything he says is something he read in a magazine, and he memorized it because he assumes that that's how conversations work.
Yeah, but then when we get his, like, his voiceovers, it's a little different, different tone.
Yeah, he drops into, like, a darker, like, well, I mean, he's constantly going like, Rachel!
Good stuff. All right, who else we got in this movie? We have Jared Leto.
Yeah. Playing a guy you absolutely want to murder, so Jared Leto.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Just the worst. I mean, you know, there's a lot of roles that Jared Leto does that
Here's
make you probably want to murder him.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people in this are famous enough to just keep their names. Like, there's Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, which
Chloe
blew
Savini.
Me away. I totally forgot that she's in this fucking movie.
Yeah. She wasn't like a huge star yet, but this was after Cruel Intentions, so
Okay. Yeah.
people
All right.
definitely recognized her.
Well, yeah.
Justin Theroux before he was fucking Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, and you got Willem Dafoe.
While he was fucking Jennifer Aniston, I'm kidding.
Goblin face.
Oh, who else is in this? We got the hooker.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Was it, isn't that Chloe Sabine? No.
No. She
No.
was, I don't know her name, but she was the girl that Nicolas Cage has a crush on in Adaptation.
Interesting.
Or in You've Got Mail, she played Tom Hanks's stepmother, which was hilarious.
Cara Seymour.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, no, that's
She's not famous enough. Hooker.
the Then we have other hooker. Then we
Yeah.
have, did
We
the
have the
redhead
Wall
come
Street
from?
guy. The redhead is Guinevere Turner. That's Trish the Dish. She's also the co-writer of the movie.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
That's
That's
right.
about, that's really it. That's, there's no one else really worth
Wrong.
mentioning. Oh, okay.
There's the guy they all hate. The Wall Street guy.
Oh, the
He's maybe
redheaded?
more. Yeah, he's more famous as Gavin Belson in Silicon Valley, so I'm calling him Gavin Belson.
Good for you. I have absolutely no idea who you're talking about outside the fact that he's just this redhead guy. I've never seen Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley is a great show. It's a comedy about the software industry or whatever the fuck you want to call it, tech.
Yeah.
He likes to do big presentations where he's like, consider the elephant, and then he brings in a real elephant. And that doesn't go well, so they drop him in the Pacific Ocean. It's a pretty hilarious episode.
Oh, they dropped the elephant in the Pacific Ocean.
You better believe it, baby.
Okay.
Gavin Belson's evil in that one. It's a completely different character.
I kind of want to know what happens the rest of that episode.
It's a crazy show. Give it a shot sometime. All right.
Okay. Well.
I don't have anything else. So, Vinny, you said you were going to do the notes for this movie?
Ha. Fuck. No.
All right, Vinny. Sad story. I tried to get the synopsis for this off IMDb, but it was no joke. 19 pages, single-spaced.
I would assume that the person who had wrote that synopsis is a big fan.
Yeah, or has a Patrick Bateman style personality disorder.
Oh yeah, did you, now when you were reading through it, was it that descriptive?
It took lines from the movie and then just kind of did them, but like put like so and so says.
Oh man, so it is literally like you were reading like a play read.
Yeah, I mean, like if a script is 80 pages and your synopsis is 20, you have not synopsized. You
You've
just have
failed.
a shorter script.
Oh boy. All right, well, let's go fuck this pig, as we say, right?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, let's go to the movies.
All right, so we start this movie off.
Give a shot, man. What do you think happens?
Well, we start the movie off in the restaurant, right? That's where we're taking
Before that,
place.
there's red stuff on the screen. Is it blood?
Oh, yeah. So we have like some twilly music like going on as like there's like a bunch of like red stuff like dripping onto like this white surface. But it's just like plating, you know? It's like a nice fancy like, you know, plating of like food happening.
Yeah, now what I think is wild is like they go through all the stuff they offer at this restaurant, and in 2000. You're supposed to think like what obnoxious assholes. But now with like the Food Network and like how restaurants are everywhere, it's just kind of like sounds normal.
Yeah, that looks fine, you know.
You're
Oh,
supposed to
fuck.
be
Go get that
upset.
plating. Yeah.
No, you're supposed to be upset that someone asked for an arugula salad. Just like, what the fuck does that mean? It's Big Macs or nothing for me, red-blooded American.
I mean, there's still people out there that think that way, so.
This is one of the many ways that this movie is incredibly dated. Since it's a movie from 2000, talking about the 1980s, and now we're in 2022.
That's fucking crazy.
Alright, so we got all the stock, like, douchebags talking about the place. And they're not happy to be there, because this place sucks. But they can't get a reservation at Dorsia's.
Yeah, that seems to be the hot restaurant that books people out in like months in advance.
Yeah, but none of them can get there because they're not that important. It's Patrick Bateman hanging out with Justin Theroux, Gavin Belson, a couple other spares I don't care about.
A lawyer.
You know what? I forgot that Josh Lucas is in there.
Who's Josh Lucas? Is he the lawyer?
He's the blonde guy. Yes. 3 years before him and Reese Witherspoon would be in Sweet Home Alabama together, they were an American Psycho.
Well, it's kind of funny where like you put these things together where you're like, that's probably why they casted them.
Yep. While they're at the restaurant, Vinny, they notice Jared Leto. They all talk up Jared Leto and how cool he is.
You know, as people do even today. Then he turns around and he's like, I like it, the ass cream.
He said, don't poop in my mouth and tell me it's raining. House of Gucci. Did House of Gucci a horror movie?
With him in there? Yes.
You know, the fucking awful thing Van Morbius definitely is.
Dear God, don't bring that into our life. Don't.
All right, Vinny, they're heading out of there. They're going to a bar after they all take their credit cards out. Christian Bale takes his card out to pay at the bar, and the girl's like, no, this is cash only. And
yeah, she's like, these things don't fucking work. She's like, we're done with this.
Again, this seems crazy to modern audiences. Because you're supposed to be like, what a dickbag, trying to use a credit card. Whereas the Nightmare Now would be like, cash? What?
Yeah, it took a flip. It's like, were you insane? Who uses cash anymore?
You're like, if I had a birthday recently and my grandma gave me some money, no, I don't have cash.
So she turns around to make his drinks because he's got the cash, except he says some fucked up shit here.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna kill you and, like, cut your face off, you fucking bitch.
Yeah,
she doesn't hear any of it. She does, and it's just like, whatever, as long as he tips.
He says, you fucking bitch, I'll cut you and play with your blood. And I'm like, what? I mean, like, play with your blood? Like, in what way?
Are we on I imagine he gets, like, the bath toys, it's like a strainer, and he just picks up the blood and goes like,
"Wee!"
He's like,
"Well, I thought play with blood." I'm like, "Was this Quentin Tarantino? Is he gonna like hit some arteries and just make it rain?"
Anyways, then we get a voiceover vid in the next scene where he describes his workout and skincare routine. It's very, very detailed. Because guess what? This is a satire of 1980s culture and consumerism, so we have to hear all about the stuff they like to buy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you are your things.
Yep. So, and he likes to work out, so we get to see him, like, doing some abs work.
Oh, yeah, he's fucking ripped. He's also wearing one of those, like, frozen ice masks, because sometimes he wakes up in the morning with a puffy face.
Yeah, we've all been there. Some of us more recently than others.
Say Christina.
Nope. Anyways. At the end of it, he was like, I look like a real person, but I have no feelings inside.
Yeah, as you say this while he's peeling, like, his facial mask off.
And he says Patrick Bateman is, like, more of an idea than a person.
Like, okay, asshole. Like, are you saying this to you? Just say it to yourself. Like, come on, are you that fucking jaded?
Well, what he's saying is, like, he projects a certain image that has no reality to it.
But, I mean, like, sure, it's a concept, but real people live that kind of life.
I guess. I mean, you're like, I don't know, you think Superman says the same thing to himself about Clark Kent when he goes home?
Probably. Superman's a god, so it's just like he thinks to himself, you fucking humans, pathetic, you know? So fucking miserable in their lives and mortality.
I'm just imagining him working out, like, flipping the moon on his back. And, like, Clark Kent is an image. It's an illusionary picture that I send out.
Yeah, you think that, like, Superman just, like, thinks of mortals as just, like... He's like, they don't even exist. He's like, they're fucking... They might as well just not even be real.
It's a separate species. I mean, for, like... What you have to imagine that Superman living with humans would be like if I went to a... Like, a whole planet of monkeys. And, like, the monkeys talked or whatever. And, like, I went to work and I put on, like, monkey glasses. And I was like, look at me, I'm the same as you. Ooh, 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 ah, ah, ah. But, like, at the end of the day, I'd still be like, look at these fucking dirty monkeys.
Like, fucking, you disgust me. You freaking, I mean, that, like, one scratched his ass over there. And that one, I'm pretty sure he threw his turd at his boss.
Yeah, there'd be one hot monkey. And sure, I'd fuck her, right? Like, she's the head monkey reporter. But the second I could do some sort of human experiments on that monkey to get her to forget, I would. And that's the story of Superman, basically. All right, Vinny, back to this fucking movie, which I, again, don't like. And I'm not going to even hide this time.
That's awesome. Anyways, let's keep going.
In at work, Chloe Savini's his secretary. He's like, don't wear that outfit again. You're prettier than that. She's like, oh, you. Because she apparently has a crush on him.
Right, right. And then he's like, you know, going on like a phone and whatnot while she's trying to book some appointments. And he's like, shoes. I like you better in high heels. And I'm like, man, this is definitely well before this like cancel culture stuff. Because you could get yourself into some deep shit for saying that.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm pretty sure Don Draper ran into trouble before he got to 1987.
He hit the crossroads and he's like, what happened?
And it's like, this is around the time of like Working Girl coming out and like 9 to 5. Like, people were talking about sexual harassment already.
Not in Patrick Bateman's world.
All right, well... All right, then he's in the car later, listening to a Robert Palmer tape on some headphones, but Reese Witherspoon won't stop talking about getting married.
I mean, I can relate.
He's like, I can't take the time off from work. And she's like, what? You don't even need to work. Like, your dad, like, practically owns the company. Just quit. And he's like, no, I need to fit in. Although he says it in his weird Patrick Bateman way, so he's like, no, it would be better if I could fit in.
While he's listening to like his music. Listen, I know what it's like listening to music and someone's trying to start a conversation. It's like, just shut up. Leave me alone.
Yeah, he's got those old style headphones on, so it's difficult to miss. It's not like they're earbuds where like people don't tell at first.
Yeah, but I mean, they're rude for interrupting him and his listening.
Alright, they're going out to dinner with quite an interesting collection of people.
Go on.
Well, there's like a couple of artists that look basically like they're in The Cure.
Yeah. Absolutely. I can see that.
There's Justin Theroux, who immediately starts being like, oh, Reese Witherspoon, you look like ravishing, as he starts like kissing her neck.
Yeah, isn't Justin, you know, it's funny, I saw Justin Theroux and then I was like, man, he looks a little bit like Charlie Sheen, except with bluer eyes.
No, it's Justin Theroux.
Sure.
All right, and then there's also Gavin Belson and his girlfriend, who is an extremely medicated Samantha Mathis.
And what's the dynamic of this table where it's just like,
I'm glad you asked.
It's fucking weird.
Okay. Reese Witherspoon is fucking Justin Theroux, which Bateman knows and does not care about.
Yeah.
He's fucking Gavin Belson's girlfriend, the medicated girl.
Yes.
The artists are fucking anybody who's willing at the end of the night.
Maybe Gavin, you know?
I assume he's fucking no one. Although he is seen with an Asian lady later, so who knows? Anyways, Vinny, we're in the next scene where he's at the dry cleaners and they can't get the stains out of his sheets. And he's freaking out because they are recommending using bleach. And he's like, these are designer.
It's a real like Seinfeld episode type thing going on here.
Yeah, if Seinfeld said, if you don't stop talking, I'm going to fucking kill you, which he says to the Asian lady there. what's the deal with me killing dry cleaner ladies because they won't shut their fucking mouths?
Well, I just, you know, I told this lady, you better clean this blood stain or I'm going to make it even bloodier.
Why does yours sound like Barack Obama? Let me tell you something. I'm Jerry Seinfeld, and you ever notice there's a real thing where you go to the airport, and not everybody there will do it, but some people on the plane, they applaud for the pilot at the end. What are you doing? Anyways, man. Some lady shows up at the end of this to be like, Patrick Bateman, didn't I suck that dick a couple weeks ago? Ooh, I want to do it again. He's like, oh yeah, that's not going to happen. But if you can, please deal with these sheets. Which, by the way, are covered in cranberry juice and not blood.
Yeah, he's like hurrying up out the door. And then she's just like, just one dinner. Come on, just one. And he's like, next Saturday. And she's like, yeah, next Saturday. And he immediately is just like, got shit to do. Goodbye.
I have in my book anything but that busted ass bitch.
She probably did a terrible job. But she's willing to try again.
I mean, like, I don't, what he wants from different sexual situations seems to be incredibly different, so.
Oh, we'll get there.
That night, Mathis doesn't want to go out. But he's like, what if we go to Dorcia's? And she's like, okay. And she pounds, like, I don't know, a ton of Xanax and stuff.
She's like, yeah, like, crossing a bunch of her drugs. And then as they're in, like, the cab on their way to the restaurant, he's, like, basically telling her, maybe you should do some, like, coke or something to, like, up you up because you're kind of, like, a downer right now.
Yeah, and she says in response,
But between those snores, we end up at a restaurant. Chick, are we at Dorcia's?
Fuck no, he could not get a reservation. Yeah. When he calls an ass, they laugh at him.
They're like, it's just so fucking cruel. Every time that you call the phone, they're like, ah! I hope you're not trying to get a reservation.
Nope. She wakes up and she's like, this is Dorcia's? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. Then he lists off the menu, and he's like, you're going to want to get the apple-crusted salmon. It was said in the New York Times that it's a delightful dish that's ready to please.
And she's like,
she's like,
gosh. Yeah, that's exactly what she did. That's way better.
He says earlier in the movie that she looks almost perfect, and, like, I don't want to be this guy, because Samantha Mathis is very cute, but no way.
Yeah, not really. She's, like, a little too blonde for my taste.
Ah, she's got, like, reddish hair.
You say she's, like, a cherry blonde?
Yeah, more like, what do they call it? Strawberry blonde.
I guess that's, like, his flavor. We'll get into that, too.
Oh, he likes blonde. Anyways,
he likes real blondes.
The next day, Belson thanks Patrick for taking care of his fiance. He's like, wow, Dorcia's. Bateman's like, that's right. He also compliments Bateman on his suit. Then he goes to touch it, and Bateman's like, the compliment was sufficient.
Hands off. freak.
We find out that Jared Leto knows Patrick Bateman, but thinks his name is Marcus Hagenstrom. So he's like, hey, Marcus, how's Trisha? And he's like, yep, that's my name and my girlfriend's name. You named it, you nailed it on both. Great.
What's
to
hilarious
talk to you.
Is that, you know, everyone's thinking like, okay, well, who is Marcus Hagenstrom? He's actually a real guy who apparently works in the same exact position as fucking Patrick Bateman.
And has the same, like, suits and glasses. Which I guess when Leto looks at people, he does not see faces. He just sees whatever designer wear they have on.
He has face blindness.
He's like, I just to see if it's a Gucci or not. Leto is basically the dude all these guys want to be. He can always get tables at Dorsia's, you know?
Yeah, he's everything super is like, high class.
He's killing it at work. He's doing great with the Tannenbaum account or something.
Yeah. And he's got that Gucci account, too. You know, that's hard to land.
Yeah, that's right. With Al Pacino, Lady Gaga for one pretty intense sex scene.
What?
Anyways.
I'm going to have to pencil that in.
He gives his business card to Justin Theroux and then fucks off. And they all start comparing their business cards because Bateman just got a new one. And
yeah.
His is all right, but the other guys, they think that they got better ones. And he's like, well, what about Leto's? What does that look like? When they drop a table, he's like, no, that's it. I'm fucking ruined. It's perfect.
It's almost like they look at this dude's fucking business card as if like Jared Leto came back in the room and dropped his penis on the table. And they're like, wow. Amazing. Yeah.
This is one where I do think they're being ridiculous because it's just like this one's like white. This one has egg cream.
Eggshell.
This one has raised lettering. Yeah, whatever.
Get it right.
This one's off-white. And like all of them look like business cards to me.
Yeah, and they all have everything basically laid out in the same position. Whereas Jared Leto's has the raised lettering, but it's also golden lettering.
Yep, he wins.
I'm going to do some ASMR type shit. Really, like, get it across the board.
Boo. Bateman finds a homeless guy outside. And he's like, why don't you have a job? Like, what's your fucking problem? The homeless guy's like, I got fired. He's like, oh, insider trading? I'm kidding, of course. You're homeless and gross. The guy's like, what?
He's like, what's the deal, man? Are you like an alcoholic? Or he's like, man, I just need a little bit of help. And the guy, Bateman's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to help you. Yeah, why not? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he's still doing his stupid Bateman voice. So he's like, you know, I have to say that you smell absolutely disgusting. You smell like urine and shit. And it's grossing me out. The guy's like, okay. And he's like, I'm going to help you out, though. And he's like, ah, if you didn't stink so bad, oh well. Then he stabs him a million times.
Yeah, he's like, did you know you're a fucking loser? And the homeless guy's like, well, hey, what up?
Yep. Then he kicks his head after he's already dead, just like, thunk, 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 thunk.
Yeah. And then, hey, Jake, there's a street dog near that guy, too. Start and stop the clock.
Does he kill the dog? I think the dog got away.
Oh, no. He stops that dog's head in.
That's who he... I thought he was stopping the homeless guy's head. All right.
Oh, well, no. That's the dog. That was the dog.
I don't know why the dog just stood for it. Once the guy got stabbed, I would have been like, no more free food. I'm out.
Yeah, dogs are usually a lot smarter than that. That dog, he was like, must defend my master.
They were at a Christmas party, and Reese Witherspoon's there. She's got a pot-bellied pig. Bateman's like, why? She's like, we'll never know.
I know, I'm sitting there like, "It, you know, is it just because she's rich that she just can have these things? Like, like no normal person can obtain that? Although, I mean, if you're like a lower-end like farmer, yeah, you can raise fucking pigs, like...
I'm really wondering where this came from. I George Clooney famously had a pot-bellied pig that he wouldn't get rid of.
Oh,
And
really?
allegedly broke up with a model over. She was like, it's the pig or me. And he was like,
The pig.
Get to hit the bricks. And the pig was like, brruh, brruh. He's like, fucking hey. Am I right, brother? All right, let's go eat some cheese rods. Oh, man. All right, but Bateman runs into Leto, and he's like, let's get dinner sometime. Okay. We are at a weird Tex-Mex place. Leto is not happy. He's like, yeah. Why are we in this awful place?
He's like, you know, I could get us in Dorsey's. I could do that. And it's just like, y'all fucking say it so much. It's just like, how good could this place really be? Like, come on.
Yeah, Bateman tries to play it off by being like, nobody goes to Dorsey's anymore because they won't let me.
Yeah, then he like, he looks over that table and does one of those, hey, you see who that is? Yeah, because this movie is of its time. It was fucking Donald Trump's wife at the time.
Yeah, he's like, it's Ivanka Trump. And she's like eating documents to be buried with her.
Ah, shit.
Then he's like, nah, that's not Ivanka Trump. That's probably someone else eating documents.
That worked, though, because apparently Jared Leto's like, oh, shit, okay.
Leto's like, where's your girlfriend? He's like, she's out with, I can't think of too many names, Reese Witherspoon. Leto's like, she's got a great ass. She dates that loser Patrick Bateman. Bateman's like, damn.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's humiliating, and you're going to get yours for that. So, we're in Bateman's apartment later. And there's a bunch of newspaper on the floor under Leto, who's getting trashed.
Yeah, he's like, you know, doing the whole, like, bobble weaving, like, basically ref is, like, counting you while you're trying to get up, like, one, two.
Yep. Bateman puts on Huey Lewis in the news, and he does this weird monologue about them.
Go
while
ahead,
he
Jake.
Puts on a...
Can you do that monologue?
No, I don't have it. Wait, I bet I can find it. Hold on.
Yeah, you can open up that synopsis and do it. It's great. It's like, I mean, it's probably what this movie's best known for is when he, like, absolutely just does, like, this delivery and review of Huey Lewis in the news. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, Huey Lewis in the news, not bad. Like, definitely some pretty, like, decent songs, but I wouldn't, like, overly go, like, over my head with Huey Lewis.
Well, he starts with, like, you like Huey Lewis in the news? And Jared Leto's like, oh, they're okay. And he's like, their early work was a little too new wave for my taste, but when sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own commercially and artistically. The whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost. He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor. The Leto's like, hey man, you got like a dog or something? Like, yeah. why is there newspaper all over the floor? He's like, nope. And he's like, is that a raincoat? He's like, yes it is.
Yep.
In 87, Huey released this. Four, their most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpiece is Hip to Be Square. A song so catchy most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity, the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band himself. He's also dancing around while he does this video.
He's like, doing the shimmy.
He had some exaggerated, like, steps. And then he's like, hey, Leto, go fuck yourself. And that basically hits him with an axe.
Yeah, and he just fucking swinging, swanging, swinging on him. Meanwhile, Huey Lewis is like, hip to be square in the background.
Yep, as he gets covered in gore. Then he sits down and he smokes a cigar and he looks a little put out. Vinny, this is probably the best acting he actually does in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, just the fact that he just sits there and just kind of like takes it in. Like, damn. Yeah, he like fixes his hair. It's like the subtle things, you know?
Yeah, and he looks just like a little bit not satisfied with it.
I mean, that's kind of really the tone of the movie, right? It's just this, like, unbridled rage with inside this man, and yet, no matter how much she does it, she's not fucking satisfied.
Yes, yes, because on Wall Street, they're never satisfied. They just keep taking and taking.
Okay.
Anyways, he drags Leto's body outside in a giant bag that's leaving a blood trail everywhere.
Yeah, I did. I laughed at that. I was just like, how? Come on.
He runs into Belson as he's waiting for a cab. And Belson's like, oh, where'd you get that bag?
It is a massive bag. It's like, what are you doing with like a body-sized bag, man?
I don't know, but Bateman can't resist telling him, even though he's mad. Then he goes to Leto's apartment because it's time to take a trip, if you know what I mean. Wink.
Yeah.
So he loads up a suitcase. Yeah,
he's like,
go ahead.
Well, he's thumbing over the places he could go, like Paris, Italy.
He's also a little mad that Leto has a better view of the park than him.
jealousy.
So, as he's heading out, he leaves a message where he's like, hey, it's me, Jared Leto. I'm going to London. See you later. Bye.
I think he says hasta la vista. Because he tries to be playful.
Which I think actually did capture like Leto's essence in this movie. He's that kind of dickhead.
Yeah.
Alright, he goes into work the next day and there's a detective here to see him. He's like, send him away. Tell him I'm at lunch. And Sweetie's like, it's 10:30. He knows you're not at lunch. He's like, fine, send him in. Then he stuffs some porn into his desk.
Port-
he pretends to be on a phone call when Defoe comes in, where he's giving a guy some insane, like, advice on his fashion choices.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I can't question what he's saying. Like, clearly it's working out for them. I know nothing about suits, so.
Yep. Detective Defoe has some questions. What was Leto like? Where'd he hang out? You got an alibi?
You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. What's an alibi?
Bateman's like, well, I think Leto was into that Yale thing. And Defoe's like, what does that mean? He's like, that he's a closeted homosexual that does too much drugs? And I'm like, damn. I gotta hang out in New Haven more.
Is that a dunk on New Haven? I don't know.
I think it's just a Harvard dunking on Yale type thing.
Yeah.
Eventually, Defoe's like, all right, well, if you remember more stuff, please tell me. And he's like, okay, I have a lunch appointment at the Four Seasons. And he's like, isn't that like forever from here? And he's like, it's a different Four Seasons. It's Four what? Seasons Landscaping, where Rudy Giuliani had that press conference.
Shut up. Why are you asking?
Now?
Why are you asking so many questions? Shut up. Leave me alone.
What are you, a detective? And he's like, yeah, I identified myself as such when I came in. He's like, shit.
Well, okay.
All right, anyways, get out of here. All right, then he picks up a hooker. She's not supposed to go to his apartment, but he's got extra. And she gets in the limo. He gets on the phone and orders another blonde hooker in the car. Blonde!
Yeah. Yeah, he, like, emphasizes blonde, like, extra hard, where he's just like, I swear to Christ, if you deliver, like, this half-baked blonde to me again, I'm gonna have a word with your manager.
If you send me a brunette, I swear to God, I'll kill everybody in this establishment. They're like, it's Bateman ordering again.
Oh, man. He's killed, like, what, like, four of these women so far? We haven't done anything about it.
Ooh, yikes. Anyways, in more creepy news, he has the hooker clean her vagina in the bath, and when she starts doing it, he's like, get on your knees so I can watch her behind. She does.
Yup.
Then the other hooker arrives, and he's like, come out in that bathroom, but not that one.
Fucking, this scene is like, I don't know, like I have a hard time Like at first I'm like, what is happening? And then it just like escalates like so much.
I guarantee the first time I watched this movie, I was like, nudity, all right. Then I'm like, all right, hookers, that's got to pay off. And then this scene happens, and you're like, oh, this isn't fun.
Yeah, it's like really, it's really fucking sad. Meanwhile, Phil Collins is playing in the background.
Yeah, and he asks the hookers, do you want to know what I do for a living? And they both say simultaneously, no.
No.
He's like, okay, I work on Wall Street. And they're like, oh, Jesus.
You can tell, like, they're just completely, like, they don't care. I mean, they got the money, and they're like, well, all right, well, I know we're going to end up having to do some weird shit, because it's always the rich guys that make people like us do the weirdest shit.
Yep. Now he's doing his Huey Lewis bit, but this time with Phil Collins. He's talking about how much better Genesis was when Phil Collins exerted control.
I mean, a hot take, but he's not wrong.
He's like, go fuck yourself, Peter Gabriel. Sledgehammer!
That's like really like the only good Peter Gabriel song.
That's bullshit. Salisbury Hill is great. That's why it's in every fucking trailer.
Okay.
Climbing up on Salisbury Hill. Anywho.
You're gonna tell me that Billy Don't Lose My Number isn't like your fucking jam? Like, come on.
Fate. While he's doing the Phil Collins bit, he's also gesturing for them to come to the bedroom. And he keeps barking out orders in between, like, you! Start dancing, which he does, kind of like, oh.
Well, while he's, like, giving directions to these women, he, like, nonchalantly just goes to the corner of the room and busts out a fucking camera.
Yep. So he's like, you dance, you bend over so she can see your asshole. And after a couple of minutes of listening to Sue Studio, he's like, that asshole's free and not just for looking. You get me?
Oh, boy.
And then we cut to him fucking them while he's flexing and watching himself in the mirror.
Yeah, he's doing that while, like, the prostitute's on the bed just kind of, like, watching, and he's just, and she's like, what the fuck? What is happening?
Yeah. I mean, he's fucking one prostitute that's eating out another while he flexes, like, yeah.
I'm awesome. Yeah.
Yep, then we cut to them all sleeping. One of them grazes his watch for a second, and he wakes up immediately and be like, don't touch my fucking watch!
Yeah, not great. He then rolls out of bed.
Yeah, and then we...
he goes to the closet. He grabs himself a hanger.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, this night's not over until I say it is. Then we cut to them leaving with, like, bodily injuries.
It's okay. He gives them their money, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, he, like, chucks it at them as they're going out the door.
Yeah, what an interesting night.
He's talking with the guys at a restaurant the next day. There's no girls with good personalities. Ha 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 ha. He's like, that actually reminds me of my favorite serial killer, who used to say, yeah, when I see girls, sometimes I want to talk to them, but sometimes I want to put their head on a pike. And his friends are like, what?
What? They're so fucking, like, out of it that they barely, like they're like, what a weird thing. But, I mean, if I'm hanging out with somebody that, like, gets into that quotation, I'm like, you're crazy, man. I gotta go return some tapes. And then I'm not coming back, and I'm calling the police almost immediately.
I like the reference, man, because that is what Bateman says whenever he wants to leave in this.
I have to return some
videos. Alright. But anyways, Gavin Belson's here, and he's redone his business card. Thank God. Perfect time for a distraction. Did he? It's awful, and it has red lettering.
Yeah, because of his hair.
Bateman gets so mad, he snaps at the other guys.
He's like sweating profusely as he looks at it, as if like he's getting like completely ill from like holding on to this thing.
Belson goes to the bathroom and Bateman follows and puts some gloves on, then goes to choke him. And Belson's like, you want to fuck me? I've been dreaming of this. Give us a kiss.
Yeah, he kisses his wrist because he like turns around as he's peeing and he's just like, oh, kissy kiss kiss.
Bateman's like, no, 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 no.
He's trying to escape the restaurant.
I hate it.
He's trying to run out of the restaurant. They're like, where are you going? And he looks up and fucking Gavin's like over the balcony, like doing the call me.
I think he literally says, I'll call you.
Uh-oh.
All right. Detective Defoe is asking Savini for more details at work. And Bateman's like, was just thinking about talking to you. Why don't you come to my office? He's like, so have you thought about what you were doing on the day that Jared Leto disappeared? He's like, I was returning tapes, day with Veronica. And Defoe's like, no, that doesn't match the information I got. And Bateman's like, what'd you get there, guy? He's like, He flips through his book and he's like, I don't remember. Then he notices that he takes out a Huey Lewis of the news CD and he's like, I just picked this up. Pretty sweet, right? And Bateman's like, I don't like them. I think Huey Lewis sounds too black. And Willem Dafoe's like, oh, well, I mean, everyone's got different tastes, I guess.
Yeah, he's like, oof. Racist.
Fuck off, racist.
I don't like this guy anymore.
Alright, then Bateman fucks drugged out Samantha Mathis again. Then she's like, listen, I need to talk to you about something. And he's like, what? You look fine. And she's like, alright, man, forget it.
Yeah. She just gives up immediately. Like, okay. You know what? Whatever.
I think the long and short of it is she's like, I'm breaking up with you, but like, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, you don't notice or care.
No, not really.
All right, he's doing coke with Justin Theroux at the club. Theroux is not happy because he's like, this is pretty much just sweetener. And Bill's like, it's pretty like... weak, but I think the answer is we do a lot of it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's like a bunch of people doing fucking drugs in that bathroom and... You know, some guy in the other stall just, like, leans over and says, can you keep it down? I'm trying to do my coke in here.
Would you mind? Some of us are trying to do cocaine.
Meanwhile, like, a guy in the other cell is like, I'm doing heroin. Oh!
Then another guy's like, I'm sucking a dick. Hey, wait a minute. This is just a hot dog. Like... I'm a girl pretending to be a guy.
Aren't the 80s crazy?
And I'm also doing cocaine.
That's what the other weedy's for.
Anywho. They're talking to some girls in the club, and they're looking for some guy who's in mergers and acquisitions. They're like, what about you, Bateman? What are you into? And he says, murders and executions. And they're like, boring, more mergers and acquisitions. Because, you know, you can't really hear in a club.
Right.
He takes a bottle outside. And she's like, you think I'm dumb, don't you? And he's like, I don't, no dumber than any of the rest of these pigs I slaughter. She's like, what'd you say? And he's like, I gotta stop saying this shit out loud.
He says it, but it's just, like, it's funny because, like, they don't give, like, a particular response, so it makes you go, is he really saying it, though? Like, I don't think he is.
Yep. Then we cut to him stroking a lock of gold hair. Seems like it went great for her.
Yeah, in his chair back in his office.
Yep. Savini comes in, and he's like, you know what? Let's go to dinner tonight. Where do you want to go to dinner? And she's like, I don't think I mean, I couldn't. I guess I'd like to go to Dorcio's. His eye twitches a little, like, what?
What fucking goddamn like, Dorcio's?
This fucking plain-ass secretary gonna fucking, like, goddamn posterize me on goddamn Dorcio's? He's like, fine, I'll call him right away. He calls him up, and he's like, Dorcio's? I'll take a table tonight at 9. And they're like, no, that's not available. And he's like, I'll see you then. And they're like, couldn't have been more clear. It's not happening.
Not happening, sir. And he's like, ha, 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 ha. 9 o'clock.
Fantastic. Then he hangs up and she's like, you didn't give a name. And he's like, they know me there.
Yeah, they know my voice. Oh, shut up. I'm going to kill you. Let's go back to my apartment, you know, do a little pre-gaming.
And he's like, and we will definitely both want to change, especially you.
Oh, your dress you're wearing is so gross. Puke.
Yep. In his apartment, he grabs some sorbet out of the freezer for her. It's next to the frozen head of that model that was so dumb. I forgot. Before she got her head cut off, she said to him, there's something that's very innocent about you. So, yeah, pretty dumb.
Well, that was the last dumb mistake she'll ever make.
David asked Savini, like, hey, what do you want to do with your life? Which is now going to last probably about another 2 minutes, because he's going around the apartment looking for stuff to kill her with. And she's like, I guess I just, like, I don't know, you know, looking for more meaning. What about you? And he has a nail gun behind her head, and he's like, I'm just looking for more human connection. Like connecting their heads to this nail.
And he's ready to lock and load and blast that nail right through her head, but he gets a message on his answering machine.
Yep, it's Witherspoon. She says, hey, hope you're not out with some slut. JK, just JK. Love you, babies. And Chloe Savini's like, oh, I guess you didn't break up with her then. He just kind of sits down because, damn, message is always messing with his murders. And he's like, I think you should leave because I don't want to hurt you. She's like, oh, looking past the nail gun. You mean emotionally?
She's like, I got you all figured out. He goes, no, really. I'm going to fucking kill you if you don't leave this apartment.
Well, his hand shakily goes towards a string that'll, like, swing an axe down on her if he pulls it. He's like, I think you should leave, as he restrains it with the other hand.
He's like, the urge. It's just there. I set this thing up. It took me hours. I need to see it work.
Hop over the last board before the door. It drops down to a death pit. He meets with Defoe again. He says Leto had dinner with Marcus Hagelstrom. And Bale's like, damn, he's getting closer. And he's like, okay. And then Defoe says, but Marcus had an alibi. And he's like, what was that? What's the alibi? What's the alibi? I can't remember what I did yet. And he's like, he was having dinner with you, Bateman. And he's like, oh, right. Yeah, no, I forgot. I definitely was having dinner with Marcus Hagelstrom, who's not me and I am not him.
You're leaning on to something there.
Defoe's like, that's the end of that story. I bet Jared Leto ran off to start a cult or band or something.
Yeah, fuck 30 Seconds to Mars.
He also allegedly is a cult leader. Let's move on.
For real? Because of that band?
Yeah, kinda. They have retreats where he walks around looking like Jesus on purpose.
I thought that was just, like, a weird thing he does.
It's part of it.
Oh, boy.
Defoe's like, I'm sure he just ran away. I mean, like, what, one of his friends just killed him randomly and is sitting at this table with me? I don't think so.
Case closed.
Bateman's in a giving mood. So he goes to pick up that hooker again. She's like, oh, I don't think so. Not after last time.
Yeah, she's like, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me five other times. Because it, you know, did you get the vibe that, like, he's done this a couple of times with this, like, woman?
No, the first thing he says to her the first time he picks her up is, like, you've never been around here before.
Oh,
it's like, yeah, you're right. Because I've exhausted the locals.
Yeah, I'd hate to see what happened to the last one. Oh, wait, she's probably dead in his apartment.
So she's like, nah, I don't think so. And he's like, just get in the limo. The driver will protect you. The driver's like, I'm definitely not paid for that, ma'am. Don't do it.
He's like, it's different this time. I don't need you for the things that I wanted you for the last time. And it's like, what? You mean there was like a different thing that he could have needed you for? Why did it have to be that thing then the first time?
She's like, the last time I had to go to the emergency room, actually somebody suggested I talk to a lawyer about it. He's like, lawyers are messy. Let me write you a check.
Yeah, he's so like, he does. No. We can settle this right here.
Then she grabs it and like hops out of the limo. And then he just keeps pulling alongside her and he whistles at her and holds out more cash. Damn it, Vin, she's going in.
She just can't help herself. She's like, well, I gotta work.
Yep. He takes her to Jared Leto's place where there's a redhead woman waiting. And the hooker's like, this place is a lot nicer than that other place you had. And he's like, goddamn Leto!
Nah, I'm definitely gonna kill you. She's like, what?
Yep. The other lady is not a hooker. It's just some like girl he knows. What did they say they met at the Kentucky Derby?
Something like that, sure.
So she's just very loudly talking, like trying to get her drug dealer on the phone. Then she has no idea the other girl's a hooker, so she's like, where do you summer? And the hooker's like, I don't know.
She's like, he didn't fill me in on what I was supposed to be. Because the first time around, actually, he wanted her to pretend to be a character to the escort. As if they were a couple.
Yeah, which, like, that lasted, like, zero time. Because he's like, do you want to know what I do? And then, the hooker is supposed to pretend to be his partner. It's like, no, I don't want to know what you do. It's like, that's not... Obviously, my girlfriend would know what I do.
They both... That's the funny thing. It's like, they both, like, I don't know. They must have both, like, looked at each other and been like, yeah.
No, there's... She gives a look to the other hooker when she comes in that says, like, I know you. You are a fellow hooker.
They're part of the union, you know?
If only. They should have a union.
I think they're unionized in Vegas, so, you know, why not?
So, Bale drugs the champagne, and then he gives it to the redhead, and he has her guzzle it down. And he's like, you know what would be hilarious is if you had sex with that blonde over there. The redhead's like, that's crazy. I'm not going to do that. No way. Then eventually, he puts on Whitney Houston. He starts doing his bit.
Again. Yeah. His, like, his whole, like, gushing over, like, music.
The redhead's like, you're a fucking loser. Who owns two Whitney Houston albums? Vinny, I own at least one on vinyl.
I know. I mean... Who wouldn't? Or especially if this is supposed to be the 80s, like, who the fuck is knocking Whitney Houston?
Yeah, that's another thing that hasn't aged well, where, like, in the 90s, it would be kind of cool to hate Whitney Houston, and now it's like, what? Whitney Houston was awesome. Go fuck yourself, Brett Easton Ellis.
She had a voice of an angel. You fucking... What do you listen to?
What, Our Lady Peace in 2000's better than Whitney Houston? I think not.
Was in my head.
Anyways, eventually the ladies are making out, and then we get some threesome sex.
Mm-hmm.
The hooker tries to get out of there because, like, she's seen how this ends.
Yeah, Bateman's underneath the covers. The other lady's loving it.
Yep, he does a little cunnilingus. But then we get a cannibalism switcheroo. Because under the sheets, it starts bleeding, and she goes from like, oh, to like, ah!
Yeah, not great. He, like, takes his head out from under the covers and, like, has, like, his face is full of blood. And he's like,
yeah. Yeah, he does do that. So the hooker runs through the apartment, and she finds a bunch of dead bodies. Ah! Ah! Bateman runs up towards her, and he slips on the floor, and then she kicks him in the face, and he's like, not my fucking face!
Well, before that, he slips, and he grabs her leg and bites her fucking calf.
Oh, yeah, he did do that.
So, yeah, she kicks him. She gets out. She's up and running.
Yep, she's out in the hallway, and he gets out in the hallway, too, in sneakers and nothing else, naked. covered in blood, and he's got a chainsaw. So she's like, ah, screaming for help. As he's like, she gets to the stairwell and she's heading down it. And then he's kind of watching from the top, like, what? I bet I can pull this off. So he's like swinging it around, kind of keeping track of her. And then he drops it down, just like that part where he drops out of the van in Dark Knight.
Yeah,
and then direct hit right in her back.
Yeah, it's amazing. She literally got to the bottom of the stairs. He timed it so perfectly.
Yep.
Now I'm wondering, where the fuck is the rest of the people in this apartment complex?
Makes you wonder. Kind of tilts the way the reality of this movie one way on the end, but we'll talk about that soon.
Okay.
All right. He's having lunch with Witherspoon, kind of like doodling like chainsaws on the back of hookers. As he's like, I think maybe we should break up because I am crazy and don't give a shit about you. And she's like, what? I'm barely in this movie. How can you leave me now?
He's like, I don't know. We don't got time to discuss this. He's like, there's other things, okay? Like, we're done here, all right? Bye-bye. I hope you have a glowing, like, career after this.
We can't break up. We have the same friends. And he said, like, I decided in high school when Christina and I broke up for a little bit, you can just have them. I'll get a new badge. You can keep the old ones. True story, pretty much.
So, like, when you guys, like, went back out, you're like, oh, sweet, I get my friends back.
Nah, not really. Because I mean, like, you know. You know who they went with.
You're like, fuck you. I know who my friends are.
Not you guys. All right. He goes to an ATM after, and the ATM, there's a kitten in front of it. He picks it up. The ATM says, feed me a stray cat. He's like, all right.
Okay,
so he
then
starts putting it towards where the card goes in, and it doesn't fit. So he's like, I bet if I shoot it into pieces. So he takes out a gun.
He's pointing at that cat, and we're all like, oh boy, are we stopping the clock for this cat? Luckily, there's an old lady that comes up behind him and goes, what are you doing?
Yep, so he shoots her. Then he runs out to the street. I don't have good notes on this vid, so, but he shoots.
Go ahead.
He shoots that woman. He shoots a doorman because he goes to the wrong building. Then the cops show up, he shoots a cop, he shoots a bunch of cops, he shoots a cop car and it blows up, and then he looks at his gun like, how'd you do that?
Wow. He's like, I feel like God right now. I just end people.
Yeah, he runs through the streets, there's police pursuit, he finally goes to the right building, and he goes upstairs. I think he goes to work, right? That's where he is?
Yeah, as if, like, the pursuit is done and over with. Like, he was able to make a clean escape. Although, you glossed over the fact that he kills, in the wrong building, he kills, like, the fucking bellman. And then, like, as he's leaving the building, a janitor comes out from, like, the opposite end of the screen. And he does, like, this turn around that door and hops back into the building and kills the janitor, too.
Yeah, as if the janitor spawned just to clean up the mess from the original one. If he just sparks there, parks there, there should be infinite janitors to shoot. But anyways, in his office, he calls his lawyer. He gets very sweaty. He's like, it's me, Patrick Bateman. I'm confessing to many crimes. I've killed the following people.
Oh my God.
They list off a bunch, ton of them we haven't seen. So he's gotten up to some stuff.
Yeah,
like he's like some gay guy in the park,
which I'm wondering
hope
myself.
Is Gavin Belson?
Because they're like, dude, that's mean. He's in the closet still.
He's like, no, he's in the park. That's where I left the body. So he's killed so many people, and he has olive oil on his face.
He's really, like, greasy. Like. He's glistening right now.
The next day, he goes to clean up his mess. But Jared Leto's apartment is slightly different than it used to be, Vin. Would you like to explain how?
Well, everything is, like, repainted, and just, like, there's no furniture. Like, his furniture and whatnot is not there.
Yeah. And he goes to look, and all his bodies are gone. Then the real estate lady or landlord, I couldn't tell which, is like, what the fuck are you doing here? He's like, well, is this Jared Leto's apartment? And she's like, how did you hear about this? The New York Times ad? And he's like, sure. She's like, there is no New York Times ad. Get out of here.
Hey, fucking yeah.
He goes to a payphone and calls Savini, and he's like, I can't make it to lunch because I'm insane and overacting now.
He was doing so good, like, throughout this whole movie, and now he's, like, jumping the shark.
She's like, what's the matter? And he's like, don't sound so fucking sad. Also, these whole bits where he keeps shouting his British accent keeps slipping through a little. Should say Welsh accent, because he's from Wales.
Yeah, he's Welsh. Come on now.
Whatever. Anyways.
They're not the same.
Savini goes into his drawer and finds his secret journal, where he has many drawings of killings.
Yeah, he's got like all these illustrations of killings, naked women, all sorts of stuff. Because, you know, it's like this dude, on his free time, just talking to friends. He's just casually watching porn, too. So, like, you know.
There was one drawing that drew my attention, Vin. There seemed to be a naked woman that had a shotgun shoved up her ass. I guess I'm glad we didn't see that scene.
Yeah, I'm glad. Thank you very much for not putting that scene into my brain.
All right, he goes to lunch and he finds the lawyer there. The lawyer's like, Harris, great to see you. And he's like, what? And he's like, did you get my message? And he's like, it was hilarious. The only thing is, you shouldn't have said it was Patrick Bateman because that guy's too boring. Then Bateman's like, I'm Bateman. You're my lawyer. What's happening? And he's like, I killed Leto. This guy's like, that's not funny. I'm no longer amused. Look at me putting on my frowny face. And he's like, you know what? That's simply not possible. And Bateman's like, why? And he says, because I had lunch with Jared Leto twice in London. And Bateman's like, what?
Yeah. Like, where? Actually, it's the Dorsey is in London.
Dorsey has just moved to London. Actually, it's always been there. That's why you can't get a table. You keep calling in the middle of the night.
Like, we keep telling them, man. Like, if you call at, like, a different time.
Dorsey, why are you calling at 3 a.m.? Yes, can I get a table at 9? We don't open till 11, sir. Sir? Sir? He's gone again. I don't know why he does this every night.
He never leaves his name.
I don't know who he is. Why would he think I know who he is? Anyways, Bateman's gotta sit down with his feelings now because he doesn't know what's what.
Yeah, he's like having an absolute panic attack, just glistening all over.
Yeah, on the TV, Ronald Reagan's trying to give you the upside of the Iran-Contra affair.
Oh my god.
He's like, actually, I think it's positive we learned some things about breaking the laws and nobody caring. That maybe won't harm the country for the next 40 years.
Yeah, nice job, asshole.
Justin Theroux's like, look at that asshole. Look at him lying up there. Look at him with that glossy exterior. You know what? He's trying to like act like he's innocent, but he's really evil underneath. What do you think about that, Patrick Bateman? And Bateman's like, Then it's over!
That's it. He then ends up in a monologue for himself.
Yeah, where he's just like, this is my confession and it's meaningless. And it's like, agreed. Then you selected the movie this week. It falls upon you to ask me the eternal question. Please proceed.
Did I scare you?
Nope.
All right.
I get what the movie's doing. I get the whole satire of the 80s thing and, like, the sort of emptiness of materialism. Mm-hmm. I want to stress that. I don't want this to be a come true thing where somebody sends me an email saying, you didn't understand this movie, that's why you don't like it. I get it. I just don't like it. I've never liked it. I'm going to continue not liking it. I'll die never liking this movie.
Okay. All right.
Vinny, did it scare you?
No, it didn't scare me.
Do you like American Psycho?
You know, there's bits and pieces of it that I kind of enjoyed. But it's probably like just like the insane goofiness of certain things, you know? It doesn't do much for me in a sense of like, oh, these high life people here, they really are monsters and allow. It's like, yeah, I get it. I understand that. Because, like, you know, classism is an ugly thing in our country. I mean, all over the world, really. It's just, it's ugly. But I don't know. I don't really have time for it. I just think that Christian Bale did a decent job with, like, you know, coming unhinged. I thought that, like, those moments where they opened up and he, like, showed his anger. Like, I thought it was pretty cool. Well, cool in a sense of, like, I just like what he did as his character.
I don't know, when he growls at him with, like, the, that's, like, a little over the top for me.
I like it, though. I don't know, I like it being over the top. I like it being, like, a little too animalistic. I like that. I mean, him beating them with the hangers definitely was, like, the lowest point of the movie. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, the business card scene is good. All the stuff with the hooker just, like, bums me out.
Yeah, yeah. I did laugh, though, when he says that the famous line, like, that asshole's for eating, not for just looking. Oh, wow, what the fuck?
Yeah, that guy's the definition of bad vibes.
Yeah, dude's basically like Trevor Bauer.
All right, well, allegedly. That dude likes to sue. Don't sue us. We don't have an LLC.
You ain't gonna listen to this.
Oh boy, you don't know what that fucking freak's listening to. Allegedly.
He basically is Patrick Bateman.
Anyways, if you were any character in this movie, who would you be?
I mean, I'm only gonna pick Patrick Bateman for like a few things. I too have like a routine that I go through in my mornings as well that has a lot to do with me putting product in my hair and cologne, and I have a system. I follow that system. And I also hate when people try talking to me when I'm listening to my music. Shut the fuck up and leave me alone.
Okay. I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm like, thinking.
I don't want to be anyone in this movie.
I mean, like, I can't even say, like, I'm Jared Leto because I think Reese Witherspoon has a nice ass, because, like, I don't really.
You're like, just really? Like a
little
her?
Butt, little white girl butt.
Yeah, it's like, you could do better.
I'm not pot-bellied pig, man, because what am I doing here?
Take it, Jake. Take it and leave it.
Good enough. Vinny, gifable moment is him pulling that gun on that cat. Come on.
Yeah, that's good shit. Phoebe the Stray Cat. I like it. I mean, like, you know, the obvious ones is the shuffle. Him fucking, like, hitting the perfect shot with the chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. No, this is a heavily gift movie.
Yeah. For sure. I do enjoy the Feed Me the Stray Cat, though.
Yeah, no, just pulling the gun on the cat for me. It's the next time Artemis tries to light my house on fire. All right. That's going to do it for American Psycho, thank Christ. Do we have any mail for this week?
We do.
Really?
We do, from our buddy Christian.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's been a long time. In fact, he starts the email by saying, "Sorry for the lag in message, boys. Been listening, but hadn't had time to check in." You're forgiven, okay. I guess.
No. Definitely forgive and forget.
Okay. What are you guys feeling on movies with the 7 production company intros? Recently watched Don't Fuck in the Woods, and I'm certain half of the movie was production intros.
Don't Fuck in the Woods. Firstly, I can't endorse that opinion. Secondly, go on.
Apparently that movie is like 70% fucking production intros, so I don't know.
I always think it's hilarious when you settle in and you're on the 4th or 5th production company. Yeah, and you're like, oh, it's one of those, huh?
You're like, this movie had a piece in it, and then this one did too, and then this one, and this one, and you're like, what is going on?
Like, looks like the investor's dinner the first time didn't go so well. You had to keep trying.
I think there's a charm to it. I do think it's kind of funny. Where you're like on like the 6th one, you're like, all right, this is getting ridiculous.
I heard an interview with Adam Brody once about The Kid Detective, which is an independent movie I like. But he was talking about what a pain in the ass it is to go to investor's dinners, where you have to try to convince them to invest in movies. He's like, and then they have like their stupid ideas about movies, and you have to be like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, just some glad-handing.
I think I'm starting to realize why you haven't been in anything lately.
That sucks. It's like, oh, God, do I really want your money? Fuck you.
Yeah, well, some asshole who just has a bunch of shares of, like, fucking Big Lots. It's like, oh, you know what I think would be a great movie? It's like a movie about a cat that solves crimes. It's like, yup.
Oh, yeah. Never been done before. Oh, by the way, he fucking subject titles this email, "Feed Me a Stray Cat," so.
All right, well, he's rare to go. He's ready for it.
Okay. He continues. Also, Vin, how was it that you'd not seen Pan's Labyrinth and American Psycho all the way through? You know, I have ADHD. It really takes a lot for me to just sit down and finish a movie all the way through. I've done it successfully 139 times on this show, so I don't know. Like, if it's something I'm really willing to want to watch, then yeah, I get through it, but I don't know, Pan's Labyrinth didn't really speak to... I mean, I thought it looked cool, but I'm telling you, I think it's because of the fucking subtitles. When I was younger, I was like, who's got time for that shit?
Yeah, well, at least you liked it when you saw it. I mean, you know, fair enough.
I have a more refined taste these days. I'm getting older. I'm starting to get invested in shit like that.
Yeah, Pan's Labyrinth's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. Jake, I'm with you in the old folks camp, where AP was a large part of my culture for a while. Just skip the second one. It wasn't great at all.
What? What's AP?
AP. Well, fucking, I don't know. What's he... Oh, no, that's how he ends his... his email, Jake. I have no idea what AP stands for.
Oh, man. I can't even trust that you read it right.
Oh, Jake, you know what? American Psycho.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have seen American Psycho, too.
Okay. As you said, skip that one. It wasn't great at all. Okay, we figured it out.
Yeah, American Psycho 2, which I've watched. Is Mila Kunis and William Shatner?
What?
Is Mila Kunis after that 70s show, but before she started really breaking into movies, so like, not great. It was direct to DVD. It's awful.
I'm sorry to say, but I don't know. It's not going to be soon, but I'm going to put that one in my pocket.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with this. It's just like she's. It was obviously something about like a serial killer girl. And they're like, well, like, what if we just bought the title American Psycho? And
That's
just
just
put it
what.
on there. People might buy it then.
That's just one of those, like, moments where, like, a studio just owns the rights to, like, a name for something. And in order for them to keep those rights, they have to pump out something. So they're just like, okay, well, I mean, I gotta use it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that one's brutal.
Yeah. That's what Sony does with Spider-Man. Thankfully, lately, Spider-Man has been better, so.
And Mila Kunis did not get naked in it, which is what I was hoping for the first time I watched it. It's
Thumbs
like,
down.
come on, come on. She just keeps killing people.
Now, see, your chick was like hoping for like a chainsaw scene with like her in sneakers.
I would have turned it down.
That's it. Thanks, Christian, for emailing us, man. It's good to hear from you again. How
Yeah,
are you doing, my dude?
thanks for reaching out to us. We always love to hear from people, even if it's just a dunk on Vinny for not seeing movies.
I mean, you could, if you want to do that, I don't care. By all means, I'm pretty easy to dunk on.
All right, if other people want to dunk on you, where could they do so?
You could do so by dunking on us at our email at disbypod@gmail.com. That's disbypod@gmail.com.
If instead people wanted to tell us that we suck on Instagram or Twitter,
You can tell us we suck at our Instagram at Did I Scare You Pod, or you can tell us we suck even more so on our Twitter at DISYPod.
please. Tell us we suck at those places. Vinny, we're at the time of the week where it's time for me to select the next movie. I've been going back and forth on this, but I think I've decided it's a movie I haven't seen before, but I have talked about a lot in many different iterations. And I think it's time to just do it. Let's find out, Vinny. If our eyes are bigger than our stomach on this question, we're gonna watch 2015's The Purge.
Oh, okay. All right. For a moment there, I thought you were gonna say like Human Centipede or something.
Wow, I'm not brave enough for that yet, but eventually I'll get bored enough to do it.
Okay, The Purge. Yeah, I mean, this is like a libertarian's fucking wet dream, that's for sure.
Yep, Blumhouse Studios, Ethan Hawke. That's good enough for me. I've never seen it. I don't know if I'm gonna like it. We'll find out.
Well,
Dave, have
the
you seen
per
The Purge?
I haven't, but don't think anybody's walking on this planet without understanding what the Purge is. There's been like a trillion different iterations and extra things and sequels and TV shows that this has spawned. So, all right, so we're gonna go to the beginning here.
All right. Let's you can watch it on, I believe, Amazon Prime right now, or probably some other stuff. Please do so if you can. A thank you, as always, to Rebel Escape Pod for letting us use their song Monster for our intro and outro. Please check them out on Spotify. Thank you again for listening. You have been listening to Did I Scare You? And I have been your host, Jake Albrecht.
Yeah, I am his co-host and America's littlest brother, Vin.
And hey, thanks for the ride, lady.
How you doing, lady? Thanks. Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, lady.